Welcome to the Shift Gold Friday Gold Wrap, your weekly overview of precious metals and market updates. I'm your host, JD Bauman, and I'm here with my brother, Joel. Thanks for tuning in. Joel, good to see you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, JD.
How are you? Did you win that scavenger hunt you were telling me about?
I don't think there was a winner, but we had a good time with Emily and some friends. Yeah.
Was this geocaching or what kind of scavenger hunt was this again?
It's kind of like a geocache, geolocator mixed with like an escape room type thing. It's like a lot of puzzles and you have to use your wit and stuff. It was fun. How are you? You came from San Francisco. You're in New York now, correct?
Yep. Just wrapping up a trip here and looking forward to being home in Virginia tonight.
Yeah. You taking the train or are you flying down?
Taking the train. Much nicer than flying. Thought about doing the podcast from the train, but figured that wouldn't be so reliable. So I'm in a busy cafe instead.
Oh, you should have done it. It would have given a certain ambiance to it. That would be fun. Anyway, let's kick the week off and get into the data points.
Sounds good. Gold is trading at $2,155 per ounce. It's down about 1% this week, down $23 per ounce. Silver is up to $25.17. That's up 87 cents an ounce on the week, or 3.5%. The dollar index is at 103.44. And the VIX, the fear gauge, is at 14.41. Prices moved this week, mostly on Tuesday. Gold dropped about $20 on Tuesday in the morning when core CPI data came out. It was higher than expected again.
Of course.
The monthly numbers moved back up to 0.4%. So for context, this is the second highest reading since January of last year. And that puts the year-on-year headline number back up to 3.2%, you know, well above the 2% target. What's causing this? If you look at the data as it's reported, most of these gains are from energy, shelter, and transportation. And then prices dropped even further. Gold prices dropped further on news of Fed producer price index. So this is the cost for producers and a leading indicator of CPI. It spiked by 0.6%. This was double estimates, the biggest month-on-month increase since June of 2022.
Yeah, it's big news, and Peter's going to have a field day with this on his next podcast. But until we get the 2008-esque deflationary sell-off, as we like to call it, I think it's safe to say that the bottom is in for CPI and inflation's only going to get worse. And ironically, it's the same song and dance where bad news is good news and good news is bad news. So higher inflationary data just means, hey, the Fed might wait a little bit longer for these rate cuts. So gold sells off a little bit. We kind of poked at the irony of that last time, but that's still the game right now, and that's still the momentum play.
So big news this week was one we'll touch on very briefly, and this is TikTok. Not that it affects gold prices much, but it is an important market phenomenon. Congress actually passed a bill that would effectively ban TikTok as it currently exists. It would force a buyer to buy out TikTok from its current Chinese owners, but it's held up in the Senate. We'll see if that goes through. But on related news, Peter reached 1 million followers this week on Twitter. That's a big deal. Joel, are you on Twitter?
Congrats, Peter. I'm not on Twitter, but I do go on to follow Peter and others. So yes, no.
You're not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter, no.
I love reading Peter's Twitter. It's always very entertaining. I loved when he, on April Fool's, I think it was last year, he told everybody he was wrong about Bitcoin.
We
invited
that.
Yep. Elon Musk to chat with him on Clubhouse. And also just like solid economic and free market truth. Like the idea that America was founded by rugged individuals who created government to secure their rights and leave them alone. But today, America is the land of the freeloader. Anyways, Joel, do you have any quips or pithy sayings from Peter?
Peter has a way with words that I don't think anyone in the world quite shares that caliber with. What caught me on like 10, 15 years ago is metaphors of the monetary Roach Mattel, things like, you know, we're addicted to the monetary heroin and there's no easing off. Like the as soon as we start sobering up and we start to realize our actual position of the U.S. economy, it's like we need another dose of the QE and monetary heroin to get back off.
That's powerful stuff. Congrats to Peter for that. Joel, any other headlines from this week that you would like to flag or talk about?
I'm just covering some notes from Peter's podcast. Michael Saylor, which Peter fondly refers to him as the Captain Ahab of Bitcoin, borrowing a few hundred million to just go long Bitcoin through his company, the MicroStrategies
group.
It's kind of a funny predicament. Like, Peter started explaining, like, I think he was going into an arbitrage where the lenders could actually short the position. They did it at such a low rate, like a 1% borrow rate, but it's because they're convertible. It's convertible debt, so they can convert it into the actual shares of MicroStrategy. So it's kind of like a call option, but it's as confusing as I'm saying it is kind of the situation. It's just kind of ridiculous that the whole stock price move is just based on their Bitcoin holdings. That there's nothing. It's so far removed from the actual software product that they have.
Some other news on the week: the national debt is up, which is no surprise. But what is surprising is that national debt has outpaced GDP for the last three quarters of measured GDP growth. So as much as one side of the aisle is touting how much the economy is growing and how many jobs are being created, right? That's presidents love to talk about how many jobs are being created, right? The debt is growing way faster. So in quarter four of last year, the debt grew by $834 billion, several times with GDP. So for every dollar that GDP grew, the debt grew by $2.70.
Yeah, and it gets into like this whole premise of modern monetary theory where you can just inflate away the debt and debt doesn't really matter as long as in theory you can service it. No nation has ever gotten into prosperity through printing their way. This isn't going to be anything new. We know how this song and dance ends, and it's...
I don't know, Joel. Maybe we're the first. Maybe the U.S. will be the first country to monetize its debt and get away with it.
I mean, if we're going to do it. I mean, we already are monetizing, so it's been happening before our eyes since really Bernanke. But it's all, I mean, I guess even Greenspan was doing it. But Bernanke was probably the worst first offender that kicked off the explosive exponential debt train. And now the debt doubles every 7 years. So at the rate we're going, I mean, we're going to be at 70 trillion before the end of the decade, which is insane.
That's a wild number.
It's just an obscene number. It's not going to get paid off. It will never get paid off in principle. It's going to keep growing, and the dollars that you could pay them back off with will reduce. But incomes, salaries, it's just there's no kind of wage that keeps up with this in general. I tout pricedingold.com quite a bit on, they highlight this, like wages relative to gold are just abysmal, and they're going to keep falling.
This debt reminds me of that Joseph Stalin quote. Only instead of death, we're talking of debt here, right? The debt of one man is a tragedy, but the debt of millions is a statistic.
It's a statistic.
When I think of the debt of the U.S., it's just a statistic at this point, right? And you could break that up by person. I think it's over $100,000 per person. Joel, any other news or announcements or things you're looking out for in the week ahead?
We had on Thursday yesterday, retail sales dropped worse than expected. On the theme of really bad manufacturing this year, we got another report, the Empire State Manufacturing Index, expected -7. Actual was -20.9. Friendly reminder, anything below a 50 positive is contraction. And then we're registering in the negatives and double-digit negative numbers. So just complete dumpster fire on the manufacturing side. On next week, the stuff to look out for would be the Fed announcement. We have an FOMC meeting on Wednesday, and we know that that's the real driver for price action on gold and silver. So expect volatility come Wednesday afternoon. And then every little news bit after that isn't even worth mentioning. So FOMC for March 20th.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll close here with our quote of the week. This is from Hayek. The curious task of economics is to demonstrate to men how little they really know about what they imagine they can design. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week.